home. We are WNST. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. This is the one that begins the off season. Luke Jones joins us now after a difficult evening in Buffalo. I don't think anybody thought it was going to be an easy evening in Buffalo when the snow came and the weather was what it was. They're used to it. You're not. You have to go and play in it, and then you have to catch the ball in it, and you have to hold on to the ball in it. And you and I talked. We were violet in the face last week about if this were a bad news final, it's probably going to be turnover related, and it wasn't because they were a good enough team to win the Super Bowl this year. They didn't win the Super Bowl this year, Luke.
Well, we've said that how many years now? They were good enough to win the Super Bowl last year and they lost. They were good enough to win the Super Bowl in 2019 and they lost in the divisional round. So it's, the details are a little bit different, but it's the kind of the same old story. I put on my Facebook page late Sunday night, a GIF of Bill Murray saying, "Well, it's Groundhog Day again." And that's what this feels like. I mean, you look at the numbers. Over 400 yards of offense, 7.3 yards per play. They were 7 of 10 on third down, I think it was. I don't have it in front of me right at the moment, but everything about them statistically, 2 of 3 in the red zone, although certainly the goal to go situation where they had the ball at the 2 yard line and not getting a touchdown there hurt. But you look at all those other numbers compared to Buffalo's, you look at that and you don't see the scoreboard and you just look at it blind. You say, well, that's the team that should have won. Three turnovers. And then you get into Mark Andrews dropping the 2-point conversion, which is, right there with Lee Evans, Billy Cundiff. But the difference is this is a Ring of Honor player, right? Mark Andrews is going to be in the Ring of Honor at some, when his career is over. And
Is he the greatest tight end in the history of the franchise? I mean, maybe we're
yes.
getting to the point he is because,
Yes.
Heap and Shannon was here 5 minutes and Pitta got injured before he
Well,
could be great. I mean, all three of those players, Shannon was better than any of them because of
right,
he's
but he was
Shannon,
only here 2 years,
but
right?
he was also at the end, he was at, they were as excellent as he was by the time he got here. We didn't get Shannon prime, in his prime. We got him a minute after his prime, sort of the way we got Matt Burke a minute after his prime. So we got Anquan Boldin a minute after his prime, Steve Smith a minute and a half after his prime, maybe 2 minutes after his prime. But he's pretty good. I don't want to be disrespectful. But in the case of Mark Andrews, he's the is who has stayed, who is in this dynamic offense, and then he doesn't speak after the, like, you and I would have flown to Buffalo for 5 degrees, and then he does, then he disappeared out the back door of a tiny little locker room. That's insane. That's insane. I was in New England. Billy Cundiff came out, spoke again, hung at his locker. Lee Evans sat at his locker and waited, didn't want to talk, but he talked.
Yeah.
Like, if you're hiding after you lose a playoff game, where is your integrity? Like, literally, what are you about as a franchise if that's what's going to happen? That's embarrassing. I wasn't a part of it. I was asleep on Sunday night, like because Chad Steele made me go to sleep, put me in a sleeper hold. You can't ever. You don't get to ask any questions, and then guys like you, they give a press pass to, they run from, like. That's weak. That's weak, weak, weak. It's weak of Chad Steele, but we've already been through this with Bisciotti and Harbaugh and my status as a former media member. What are they doing? And beyond that, like on the field in this game, to run the ball and to win the game, I don't want to say it's inexcusable because the Bills are a good team, Josh Allen. Last year, they ran the ball 6 times in the championship game, and then they kicked the ball around in Buffalo the other night, have a chance to win, have a chance to tie the game, push it, and they dropped the ball in the end. Like, this is self-inflicted. We've talked so much about their problems and how good they are, how they're talented, and how their offense is DVOA and like all of that. You got to go win. You have to win in January. And until you do that, memo to Jerry Coleman. Buffalo's not the losers. They played this week. The losers are in Owings Mills, and then they hit after the game. Like, I don't know. Sign me up and tell me I'm in the wrong place about this, Luke. Tell me
Well,
I'm wrong.
look, I mean, I'm not going to go on the attack beyond the fact that if your teammates had to speak for you and you didn't, that's disappointing. Period. I mean, I don't need to say any more than that, right? But you're talking
That's the
about
most
one of the
adult thing I think you've ever said in 20 years. Like, that's without you
again,
even
like
being
it.
mean. You have no ability to be mean. You're Deacon Jones, but like, if your teammates have to go out and face the music, you should have to go. Like,
Yeah,
that,
they shouldn't
enough
have to
said.
speak for you, right? And they're going to be asked about you because you drop it in that spot, and not just the drop, the fumble on the previous drive that led to a long field goal drive and cost you points because you were in Buffalo territory at that point in time. And he had the drop the play before the Lamar fumble, which came on a bad snap. And look, Lamar turned it over twice in the first half. Lamar first half, Mark Andrews second half. I mean, if you want to be really overly simplistic about it, but still pretty spot on. I mean, there you go, right? I mean,
Well, your
okay,
best players have to shine at this time. If they
yeah,
don't, you
and
go
that's
home.
where, like, see, this is the difference for me, and obviously, because of just where we are in 2025 as a society of sports fans, the instant reaction is to blame the coach, blame the coach, blame the manager, right? What about this game plan? Can you really fault the coaching staff for? Okay, the first 2-point conversion that they didn't get, which I saw some people saying that just kick an extra point there. It's late in the third quarter. You try to tie the game there. I'll hear that in the first half. Not going for two there, but you go for two there. But there you could have made the argument either give the ball to Derrick Henry or at least don't motion him out the way they did. That said, Isaiah likely was wide open. Lamar probably needs to put a little more air under it, but Matt Milano made a great play, right? I mean, there are times where you do have to chalk it up to the other team making a play, but I mean, Lamar, four interceptions all year. He throws an interception, and Lamar took accountability for that after the game. He was extremely frustrated, used some colorful language in describing it. Dropped the ball. It was a bad snap, right? That part of it's on Linderbaum, but Lamar still dropped the ball. It wasn't even a great play made by the defense to strip him. As he's kind of losing his balance, he drops the ball and Von Miller's running the other way, right? Cost him 7 points right there. And like I said, Andrews, the extra point, or not the 2-point conversion drop and the fumble prior to that. I mean, it's, you said it.
When Von Miller's running the other way, I turned to my wife, I'm like, this is how you lose in January. Like,
Sure.
when he was running,
Sure.
I'm like, this is the prescription for how to destroy a Super Bowl opportunity.
Yeah, and I think what's frustrating about this, and I wrote about this at BaltimorePositive.com. You and I talked about this late last week. I really felt that the Ravens had the advantage from the standpoint of they didn't necessarily need to play their A-plus best game of the year to win, whereas I thought Buffalo would have to do that to win, all things being equal. But the caveat there was the playoff Ravens can't show up, and they turned it over three times and they dropped passes. And I mean, there you go, right? Josh Allen didn't play a great football game in terms of making a ton of plays on Sunday night. But you know what he did better than Lamar Jackson? He took care of the football, right? Look, Lamar on the final drive, brilliant. No Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman gets hurt. I mean, their wide receivers on that final drive were Tylan Wallace, who made a big play, Nelson Agholor, and Anthony Miller. Elevated from the practice squad, right? I mean, and they still did it, and they had a chance to tie it up. And the guy that's more experienced and more accomplished than any of your skill players that are out there on the field that Lamar could throw to, Mark Andrews, drops a pass. I mean, you look at that play, Lamar threw it perfectly fine. I mean, it hit him right in the breadbasket and he dropped it. There's nothing about coaching there, right? I mean, John Harbaugh isn't standing on the sideline with a crystal ball, or Todd Monken's not up in the box with a crystal ball saying, "Oh, I sense, my spidey sense tells me Mark Andrews is about to drop the ball. I better call another play," right? I mean, your stars need to be stars in those spots, and I mean, for as much criticism as Lamar has gotten over the years for his performances in January, I looked it up. Mark Andrews, and these were numbers according to Pro Football Focus. And there's always a little bit of subjectivity in trying to look at drops, right? I mean, some drops are more egregious than others, right? But looking back at it, he was credited with a drop in the 2018 playoff loss. He was credited with two drops in the 2019 playoff loss, and he was credited with three drops in the 2020 postseason.
Starting to become a brand.
I mean, if for as much as Lamar has taken the heat, and understandably so, and much of it justified, some of it unfair, but plenty of it fair, Mark Andrews, throw him right in that same category. As great as he's been in the regular season, three-time Pro Bowl tight end, he's come up small in a lot of these spots, and no, none more egregious than what we saw in the second half on Sunday night. I mean, the fumble and then to drop the two-point conversion that ties the game. I mean, it's excruciating. I as I was thinking about it, and obviously when the game, when it's in real time, everyone's processing and reacting, right? And I said that you won't find a more agonizing way to lose. And, a few people came right back at me on social media saying, well, what about Billy Cundiff and Lee Evans? Noted. And that, of course, was the AFC Championship game. However, Billy Cundiff made a Pro Bowl the year before. But if you recall, he was hurt at the end of that regular season. He wasn't really in a great place as a field goal kicker at that point in time. No excuse, right? He still missed a 32-yarder. But
Well, Harbaugh also had a timeout in his pocket.
sure. And I don't,
I mean,
again,
that's really,
no,
as we talk about it a dozen years
he
later,
still missed it, though.
you got
He
to
still
call a
missed it, though.
timeout.
I hear you, but he still missed it. And again, I don't want to belabor that point. Lee Evans, some people have called that a drop. There was also a defender knocked the ball away. Should he have still dropped it or caught it? Yes. Point is, they were bit players. Billy Cundiff was never going to be in the Ring of Honor for the Baltimore Ravens. Lee Evans barely played that year. He was hurt and wasn't very good. So, but this is a three-time Pro Bowl player, one of your highest paid players, one of your best players in Lamar Jackson era. Lamar's safety net, right? I mean, if he's going to go to anyone in that spot, it's him or Isaiah Likely. And maybe they should have just gone to Likely again, right? After he catches the touchdown. But I mean, if you can't count on your best players to be the best in those moments, I don't know who, what coach is going to get around that, right? I mean, and I don't say that to give John Harbaugh a pass for past January shortcomings, the game plan last year, running the ball, though I've always been someone that recognized more nuance there. But I mean, again, to make it so simple, Lamar turns it over twice in the first half. And I understand the interception. Buffalo did not score any points, but that's still a lost possession there. That's still a lost opportunity to score points there in a game that, there were, especially at that point in the game, there were a lot of points being scored, right? I mean, Buffalo had 21 points in the first half. So you just look at it, and it's incredibly frustrating because you see this team that's been so good in the regular season and won so many games in the regular season and so many accolades, to your point, DVOA, and Lamar's gonna win a third MVP here in a couple weeks. We saw the All-Pro voting. He's gonna be the MVP. I'd be shocked if he's not. So you have that, and you have eight other guys who made the Pro Bowl, and I mean, there's just everything about this team from September through December says they should have at least been to a Super Bowl or two by now in this era. And yet we're having the same conversation and not even getting back to the AFC title game to try to have some retribution against Kansas City. So, some vindication, some revenge. It's frustrating because, Buffalo didn't play their A-plus best game of the year, but they played cleaner football and they didn't dirt it over. So incredibly frustrating. And I think the worst part, I mean, this is what I'm about to say is both a blessing and it's a curse, is their window's still wide open, right? Lamar Jackson just turned 28 years old. He's the age right now that Joe Flacco was when he won a Super Bowl, right? So there's, and with the way that Lamar's game has matured in terms of him playing from the pocket and all the other things he does, there is no reason under the sun at this point not to think that he's going to be a heck of a quarterback for a long time, assuming relatively good health that any player needs. So this isn't about a closing window or this was their last chance or anything like that. But where do you go from here? Because You added Derrick Henry. That worked out great. But unlike Lamar, who is 28 and has, a shelf life that should still be fine for several years at a minimum, Derrick Henry's going to be another year older. Is he going to fight Father Time another year? What's going to happen with Ronnie Stanley? What's going to happen with Todd Monken in terms of does he get a head coaching gig? Are you going to be as healthy this year as you were last year? And it's a little understanding the timing of the Zay Flowers injury, that argument lost a little bit of its sting, but they were extraordinarily healthy this year. You just look at it and you try to, at the very least, not look at it in terms of a window, but just look at how the variables set up. These last 2 years have not been the most dominant version of the Kansas City Chiefs that we've seen, for example, right? And maybe Kansas City's about to beat Buffalo and go to another Super Bowl and win. Who knows? But the point is, on paper, they haven't looked as formidable as the group 3, 4, 5 years ago that, not only won Super Bowls, but they completely crushed teams in the process of doing it. So you've had a more vulnerable version of Kansas City, at least in terms of how they've played. Buffalo this year, this is supposed to be a down year for them, right? And it's a credit to Josh Allen and the Bills and Sean McDermott, but they had had a lot of roster turnover. So, these last 2 years felt like they've really set up very well for the Ravens to break through and do it. And they haven't even gotten to a Super Bowl, let alone win one. So you just look at it and you say, what is it going to take? What is it going to take? Right now, you ask me their biggest offseason need. I don't know, right? I mean, it's that the idea of sizing up offseason needs is typically dependent on having these recognizable fatal flaw in the regular season. And, beyond the fact that they got off to an 0-2 start and they ended up losing five games, I'll hear that. Like, okay, you weren't the number one seed, or it would have been nice to play this game in Baltimore rather than Buffalo, although it was snowing in Baltimore on Sunday. So who knows if that really would have been an advantage for the Ravens, the way they didn't take care of the football. But you just look at it and you say, what has to give here? How are you going to break through? Because, I mean, they've done everything in the regular season. Nestor, it's not just the offseason, it's now going through another regular season where I expect the Ravens to be excellent again. I'll pick them to win the division most likely because until the Bengals show that they have a defense and until the Steelers show they have a quarterback, they're the best team in the AFC North, period. But what is it going to take to break through? And that is what is just so frustrating when you see the manner in which they lost on Sunday night.
We got to play better football in January. That's it. I mean, you have to play better football. You have to play cleaner football. And the mistakes that you make during the regular season, penalties, they didn't turn the ball over much this year, but when they did, it was trouble. It is trouble just in a general sense in the league. When you turn the ball over, it's really, really hard to win football games. Across 100 years of the league, you can go through any of those statistics and find that part of it out. But the January disappointments when they've had a good enough team 3 out of the 7 years with Lamar to win Super Bowls, right? 19, they had a good enough team. Last year and this year, they had a good enough team. That's the hardest part because as we sit here talking about the baseball team, and we're about to do that for the next 7 months, as you know, they're not really good enough. They weren't good enough last year, especially once the arms fell off. They were good enough in May when I said to my wife, they're as good as any team I've ever seen. And then you start having arms fall off. But when you're constructed to be a top five team in whatever sport you're in, and you don't win because of the way they looked on Sunday night, which is you lost enough during the regular season to put yourself on the road in an environment that is. This wasn't a road game in Miami or in the Dome in Houston or, someplace semi-civil. This was a place where the conditions, as well as the team, as well as the fan base, all of it was going to beat down on you on a night. And if that game was in Baltimore on Sunday night, it would have been in the snow. It snowed here all day Sunday. It would have been an awful environment here had the game here been here Sunday. It would have been no different. But they would have been at least able to hear their snap counts as long as the people that buy the tickets here aren't stupid enough to make noise on offense, although they do have signs in to say, don't make noise when we're on offense in Baltimore, which is just bizarre to me. But the cadence of the game in Buffalo and the way the crowd responded, and more than that, when they got the ball on that last drive and went down the field, I kept saying to my wife, I was Derrick Henry, Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's not even on the field when you're behind in the fourth quarter and you're trying to get the ball down the field. They had to do that without Derrick Henry. That's what they've been good at various points, moving the ball down the field quickly with Lamar being evasive, using his legs, just doing all of that. And they get themselves into a position to rescue the season.
Yeah.
All the mistakes in the first half, they were in a rescue situation because their defense stopped Josh Allen at the goal line when it felt like they're going in. And if it's a two-score game, it's over with. And they held them. And Buffalo made a mistake. Buffalo got held, and it's a touchdown game, an 8-point game. And you had the opportunity. It was all sitting there on the road to be the miracle team, to go in the phone booth. Lamar did that much to get them to the end zone. It's certainly not Purple Rain 3. That's all I'm going to say, Luke. I mean, the
Yeah.
way that it went down on Sunday night, it's scripted to be as ugly as it could have been, given how good the team was. Lose to Raiders, lose to the Browns, wind up on the road. Wind up on the road in the wrong spot on a 10-degree night in Buffalo when the snow's coming down and you make mistakes.
Yeah, and look. There's no prerequisite that you have to be the number one seed, right? I mean, the Ravens have learned that twice in the last 6 years,
So did
right?
the
We
Lions, by the way,
right,
Saturday
right.
night.
The Lions on Saturday night, no question. But you think back to the 2000 Ravens. I mean, they were on the road in Tennessee. I mean, they won in Tennessee. They won in Oakland. The 2012 Ravens. Look at the lull in December that they had. I mean, they fired their offensive coordinator. They had to go to Denver. They had to go to Foxborough. I mean, the Ravens. Their moment was right there, and that's where you look at this thing, and you mentioned being in Buffalo and being on the road, and it's cold and all that. They moved the ball really well, right? They averaged 7.3 yards per play. They had over 400 yards of offense. Lamar had the two turnovers in the first half. You can't ignore that. He played great in the second half. It still came down to that moment in time. You convert the 2-point conversion there. It's tied. Now, I'll point out, there was time, enough time left and two timeouts for Buffalo that maybe the Bills drive down the field and Tyler Bass kicks a 52-yard field goal at the gun and you lose. I mean, that's very well possible, right? But you can't drop that 2-point conversion, especially when it's one of your best players, right? Again, the difference for me in comparing this to Lee Evans and Billy Cundiff is they were bit players, right? They're guys that. If that hadn't
Lee Evans can
happened,
come back to Baltimore anytime he won't walk the street. Nobody knows who he
no one
is.
would even recognize him.
No one knows who he is. Yeah.
Billy Cundiff at least did make a Pro Bowl the year before. But again, Billy Cundiff, go back and look at late in that 2011 season. Things were not trending well for him. But again, these were bit players. If those two didn't make those mistakes in Foxborough, I don't know if you'd even think about them ever again in terms of the Baltimore Ravens, right? I mean, Cundiff again made a Pro Bowl. I get it. But this is a Ring of Honor player. I mean, it's not just the drop, the fumble as well, right? In this fourth quarter. So, I hate putting it on one player or two players because the defense had its issues in the first half. I mean, Buffalo ran the ball pretty well on them. They were put on a short field as well. It's not like the defense was horrendous or hideous in the first half, but it wasn't as good as it had been down the stretch, that's for sure. So there were multiple elements to this. But again, you go back to it, and normally, if you think about, oh, you have to go to Buffalo and play, you think of like the Dolphins not being able to move the ball at all when they go to Buffalo in December, right? Or the rare times they've played in January up there. You think about that. This was not that. I mean, the Ravens moved the ball, the Ravens had success offensively. But boy, the miscues with the turnovers. The drop passes. I mean, it's absolutely killer. Just killer. And it's why they're going home. And it's why we're sitting here in late January once again talking about this team coming up short. And it's just, you had a team that had 11 turnovers the entire year, and they had three on Sunday night. Lamar Jackson had four interceptions the entire year, and he had one in the first half on Monday night. Now, again, he made up for it as much as he could after those two turnovers. And again, that last drive was the stuff of, that was heroics, right? I mean, that would have been a much different story if Mark Andrews catches that ball and the Ravens win in overtime. We're talking about this being the start of a shift in Lamar's legacy for January, especially if he can go, if could have gone to Kansas City and win. But instead, we're talking about this in the same terms. But man, I mean, the Mark Andrews fourth quarter, it's just you, the best coach, Vince Lombardi, Bill Belichick, Tom Landry, you name it. Throw whatever great all-time great coach you
Well,
want to think about.
Jackie Smith, we still go back to
Yeah.
that
I mean, you
45
can't
years later,
account for
right?
that. You can't anticipate that, right? I mean, that's just something. If that's going to happen, you just kind of shrug your shoulders and say, Lamar, we called the right play. He was open. Lamar threw a good ball. Gotta catch it. Period. End of discussion.
Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find him out on the internet. He will be raging all week and catching up on all the Orioles of starting pitching before the end of the week. We are not going to Kansas City. I apologize to you. Dude, I was looking at those onion rings that Jack stacked, the big ones. I was all ready for that. I was all ready for another week of football around here. Instead, we have a requiem, and Mark Andrews not showing up at his locker after the game in Buffalo on Sunday night. They will be cleaning out lockers. Luke will be cleaning out lockers with them this week. We will continue to talk to people about this, talk to people in the league about this, and I guess I should say get ready for Buffalo and Kansas City this week. But the league moves on. They're going to play football on Sunday. They're going to be a Super Bowl 2 weeks from now. We're going to have a cup of Super Bowl brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. It's my final Ravens scratch-off ticket now that the season is over. I'll get the Magic 8-Balls in here this week. We're going to be beginning things at Costas 2 weeks from today. So come on out and donate to food pantries. Folks need food. Season's over. We're going to be talking about it until we're purple in the face because the season's still going to be over tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And Luke will be out there covering all that. So full-on coverage here all week. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST AM 1570 Taos in Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive, even when the ending's negative.